Absolute Rally with Tony Simpson, Ryan Champion and Jack Bennion.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally, episode 10, season 10. Here we are. Don't worry, you're going to get another two episodes. I'm not going to tell you what's coming up. Well, you kind of know what's coming up. We're doing the quiz. We've already had questions sent in. Even our guest host almost today, if I can dare call it that, First Lady of WRC, of course, Bex Williams. Hello.
Hello. I'm liking the fact that it is episode 10 and season 10. It feels, I like the symmetry between the numbers there. That's good.
It made me feel really good too, to be honest with you, because I'll be honest, I'd see episode 8, and I did start episode 8, which our listeners, one or two of them picked up on. I think I was at the point where I had my head on the computer going, just two more episodes at the end of the season. Just two more episodes at the end of the season. And I love you all, and I love the fact that you all download it, and I love making these programs for you. But I was at a bit of a dip at that point, it's fair to say. But I can tell you that we have got another two episodes to come before Christmas. Don't ask me how I'm going to do it. Don't ask me how I'm going to do it, but we're going to do it. So we're going to be there. But this week, I've gave the boys a week off because I feel like they've got to go away and do a little bit of preparation for the quiz. Last year, it was farcical. It's only, you know, these boys are meant to have the finger on the pulse of rallying. And I'm lucky. I'm not convinced they had a pulse themselves while they were performing the quiz, to be honest with you. It was flatline, nothing. So I've gave them this week off.
Disappointing. Yeah, they obviously need a little bit of time to rest, recuperate, get those rally brains into gear. I've come up with some beautiful questions.
You have. You've got.
We've
got questions from listeners. We've got questions from you. We've got questions from Martin Holmes, Henry Hope Frost. There's a whole host of people who've sent in questions when we said we were going to do the quiz. So, and then I've got my questions as well, which for those of you who listened last year know that they're the impossible quiz question. It's just who I want to basically get the point. So, so I've already started writing those. Yeah, I make it up as I go along, basically. I make it up as I go along. But anyway, Bex, it's been ages since we spoke. Now, before we crack on, right, you're still busy. You're still working. Everyone thinks when WRC is over, you go disappear into your lovely little cottage in Wales, and you do Welsh things until Monte Carlo. I don't even know what Welsh things are, by the way. But
I'm not sure what Welsh things are. I'd be amazed to find out. Well, I am in my little cottage, and we've had a winter wonderland of snow this week, so that's been nice. But yes, still very much working. I was in Hyundai Motorsport last week.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. This is what I was... Before we start, I wanted to really ask you about that because I watched some bits and pieces and I've seen what you put out as well. Just tell our listeners a little bit about that.
So, yeah. So, when the WRC Championship is running itself, the online gaming championship is running for what was WRC 6. It started on WRC 6, the WRC 6 game. WRC 7 is out now. But basically, the online gaming community, they compete across various stages during a rally weekend, timed stage trials, just like our drive. And come the end of the year, the top eight head to, this time, Hyundai Motorsport, who are one of the main sponsors of the championship itself. And they compete against each other. And the top prize was a Hyundai i20, not WRC, not World Rally Car, but an actual road car itself. And during the qualifying sessions and the live finals, we were live. We did a live video stream from Hyundai Motorsport for everyone to come in and take a look at it. And it was myself, my co-host called Rene Butler, who's a big gaming caster. That's what you're called when you're broadcasting games. You're a caster. Wow. And Andreas Mikkelsen, who was in the factory and on hand to give his input on their gaming skills. He had a bit of a go himself as well. And to be honest, it was a little bit, you know, first of all, outside of my comfort zone. I game a little, but rarely these days. I would describe myself as a vintage gamer.
Okay.
So it was many, many years ago that I was
ZX
big into gaming.
I'm thinking ZX Spectrum. That's what I'm thinking.
Hey, don't knock the ZX Spectrum and the Atari. Tell you, that's where I learned my craft on.
48K of joy. 48K of joy. What can I say?
I love playing rally games. I do, but you know, I don't do it very often. I don't get a lot of time to do it. But it was fabulous to see last week, like the eight finalists that came through to Hyundai. They had a complete day out. They were karting with Danny Sordo the night before. Then they got a big tour of the factory before they went into their kind of training session modes before all the qualifying. But you know, the commitment and dedication they gave to it is incredible. All the stages that they competed on were hand-picked at random during the day, but they'd been, I think it was 20 stages were released that they could train on, that they knew it would be kind of one of, you know, the, how many stages do we have in total? We had 10. So it'll be 10 of these 20. So they're training for the past 2 weeks across 20 stages that they think might pop up during the qualifying and finals. Some of them are training for 8 to 10 hours a day. Wow. On these computer games. Yeah, it's just incredible the amount of dedication they put into it. We really did have a ball. It was slightly, I thought this is going to be outside of my comfort zone, but as soon as we got into it, I was absolutely enthralled by it all. It was absolutely brilliant. The online gaming community is so, so strong. It was just a brilliant thing to be part of.
What was the average age of these guys? I've got to ask.
Yeah, well, to be honest, it varied. Okay, so we had some under 20s, but only, I think, well, our winner was under 20, definitely, Nexel. Lohan, his real name, but Nexel, you go by your kind of your online moniker. He was under 20, but, you know, early 20s, but it kind of ranged up. We had Greek Man, who was a little bit older. I would like to say how old Greek Man was. That is his online moniker, not just because he's from Greece. He's called Greek Man. He was awesome. Yannis, I really enjoyed him. He was brilliant. Absolutely. Everyone was. They were so, so into it, so dedicated. And it was genuinely exciting to watch. And you're basically, we were commentating on their game playing skills. And, you know, it was a slightly odd to do because, you know, you're commentating on the reality of it normally for me. And then to see it in the online world is very different. I mean, one of the guys, Crash straight into a tree, which in, you know, normal life, that would be pretty much game over. But he limped on to the end of the stage, unbelievably. But, you know, the craft that goes into it, and like I said, the dedication, and we were all genuinely excited. Come the final, I had Andreas Nicholson next to me, and he was rubbing his hands together. He was like, this is exciting. He couldn't quite believe, I don't think, you know, how quick these guys were, but how focused they were. And it's pretty difficult. You know, normally when you're gaming, you're at home, aren't you? You're in your bed, maybe. You're cut off from the world. It's silent. It's dark. It's nice. They were slap bang in the middle of the Hyundai Motorsport Workshop, where normally the World Rally cars are. And what was quite funny is the test cars drove in during one of our, they weren't competing at the time. It was kind of one of the after interview sessions, but the test cars for Monty came back into the factory, which was quite amusing. Wow. So you've got people all around you. These guys are trying to compete and you've got, you know, he's being filmed. There were photographers there. There's lots of other, you know, lots of the team were milling around, lots of people watching them. So there's a distraction of people in your periphery vision, which is going to put you off your game, man.
Yeah, but absolutely. Luckily, you've learned the terms, Dave. You've learned the terms, Bex. I'm impressed. Yeah, you're down with the gamers.
I've kind of worked with the gaming guys throughout the year because we've made little videos after each rally. So they've taken highlights from the live stream, the live gaming that they've been doing during an event and created then our highlights, just like you'd see the highlights of Rally Sweden, for instance. You're seeing the highlights of Rally Sweden, but from the gaming community perspective. And I've voiced those and helped script those. So, you know, you kind of, I followed these guys all the way through the season and seen the highs and the lows, you know, things that have gone wrong for them, things that have gone right for them. So, you know, we've had two championships running, the main WRC and the online gaming WRC as well. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how it all goes next year. This is quite a prize to walk away with, isn't it?
And absolutely. It's,
you know, you are basically the virtual Sebastian Ogier.
Is anybody, any of these guys, just have they got any rally background, or are they just gamers? You know, is anybody there who's maybe done an event or two and understands the job? No,
mainly gamers. Some of them have a little bit of rally background, but mainly they are gamers.
The reason why, because I don't think John plays. You know, John Armstrong, obviously, a couple of times WRC too. This John is a god. It's a different game, but if you've seen the setup he has at home. It is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And he is, you know, he's a very, very quick boy, and he does a lot of online stuff as well, I think, on a couple of other games. But yeah, he's obviously, we know he's a pilot in the real world as well, but he's a proper pilot in the virtual world as well. So that's why I was asking. It's quite interesting to see whether, you know, anybody's brought any crossover of knowing how to set a rally car up. You know, do we have the brake bias here? Do we have the damper software? You know what I mean? I'd just be interested to see whether, whether they do that stuff as well.
Like I said, some of them did. Some of them did have a bit of a rally background. Some of them didn't at all. But what also is interesting for me, you know, you have your setup and have your steering wheel, you have your pedals. Some of them were shoes off for a better feeling. Some of them were shoes on. One guy had racing boots on.
Oh, I love it. Now, you've got to tell me, right, going back in a previous life, man, when I used to do a lot of instructing at rally schools and stuff like that, if somebody turned up at the rally school with their own race boots and own helmet, we all automatically, he was flagged up. You've got to be good when you pull that stuff off, is pretty much how it kind of went. Was he good?
Yeah, no, he was good. No, he was. Okay, well, he got to the final eight, whole year. So he was good. I mean, all of them that were there, they were exceptional. But the guy who won, Nexel, was on another level. He was the only driver who was playing with a console rather than a steering wheel, which effectively should have hampered him, really, but it didn't. Honestly, we were all just blown away from him. And it was exactly the same as, you know, in terms of a rally stage, it's being precise, it's being clean, and that is going to bring you the absolute speed. And that is what was making him much, much quicker than anyone else. He was precise, and that was, you know, why he won at the end of the day. It was like watching Loeb in a way. Sometimes he sounds bizarre. And he was French as well. Maybe this is, you know, where we're getting analogies from. He's a very quiet guy, very focused, but so, so precise, so, so quick. Really, really cool to see. And bless him, I think he passed his driving test 5 months ago. He's only 17. So he's now got himself a brand new Hyundai. Let's hope it stays
good
in one
for him.
Piece. Huh?
Yeah, let's hope he doesn't try and to try and do some of those bits and pieces he's been doing online. 17 years old. What else could a 17-year-old do? Well, if he's called Cali Rovanpera.
Hello.
before we start about this season, obviously we've just had the story now confirmed with Skoda. It looks like he's doing APRC as well, so he'll be probably in the MRF car, obviously a brand I know quite well. What are our takes on this?
First of all, I think a lot of people might have been surprised by the news, because obviously we've seen him with M Sport when we've seen him in the World Rally Championship. And I think a lot of people thought that that was a relationship that was going to continue on. So I could see a lot of shock and surprise online in the past few days that we actually see him with Skoda. But what an opportunity for him. And I think it's such a good idea to, you know, we've seen many drivers do this, do the APRC and WRC2. I think to get your feet wet in other championships is massively important, and it's a really good building block in lots of different experience ways to help you on. I think launching yourself straight into the WRC, and that then is the only kind of top level that you're doing, is it's not enough. You need grounding in lots of other different championships. And okay, Cali has already, for his years, had quite a bit of experience. But I think to be able to do that is going to be fantastic for him. He is a real talent and genuinely a really nice guy. We saw him in Wales. We also saw him in Australia last year. And, you know, I think he had a little bit of an eye-opener in Wales, let's say. He was part of our FIA press conference before the rally got underway. And even after the recce, he was saying, you know, it's going to be a lot tougher than I expected. And then I think it was doubly tougher than he expected during the event itself. You know, it wasn't straightforward for him. A lot of people said, oh, yeah, he's going to be on the podium. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. And you've got to give the guy a bit of a break. He's learning at the highest level. He has great experience, great speed and pace, and he is something special. There's no question about that. But to tackle one of the toughest rallies on the championship calendar, which Wales is, mainly due to the you know, the stages are fabulously beautiful, but the condition of the stages in terms of the grip, the unpredictable grip, which is just the phrase of Rally GB, that's something that you have to try and adapt to and learn, and it's experience that pays in Wales over the years. It's not an event you can go to really and be absolutely on the money straight away because of that unpredictable grip. And I think we saw glimpses of something very special from him during that event. And I think we'll see a lot more during next year as well. You know, for, it's hard to believe, isn't it? Someone with, well, as old as he is, to have as much potential as he has got at this point in his career, it's kind of frightening, isn't it? You know, you're seeing all these really young guys coming through now, and wow.
This is Absolute Rally, Pace Notes Rally Magazine, Britain and Ireland's only dedicated rally publication. Rally news, interviews, features and reports from Clubman Rallies to the WRC. Available from all good newsagents or subscribe at rallymag.com. Pace Notes Rally Magazine, your number one monthly rally read. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
I can't help but feel, right, that the whole of the service park, and this is all the teams that are there, owe Škoda Motorsport a great deal of gratitude, because obviously Škoda have, and obviously we appreciate the relationship with Volkswagen, obviously that's not, they're on the WRC at the moment, but we've got these young drivers that Škoda are nurturing, and obviously we've seen, you know, Lappi move on to Toyota, and, you know, obviously these drivers, there's nowhere else they can go with Škoda. That's as far as they can go with Škoda. So they are going to get pinged out somewhere, and they're going to, if they want to continue a WRC career, which of course they do, they're going to end up with one of the other teams, and they're kind of being nurtured by Škoda, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, Škoda have done a great deal, haven't they? When you look at the drivers that they have put through their paces over the years, they've done in a massive amount, and it's been a fabulous training ground for many drivers. We've seen Esa-Pekka Lappi obviously move on and up into the WRC. Pontus Tiedemann is going to remain with Škoda, but you know the potential is there for the team they have this, or going into next year, is such a strong one when you look at the lineup. With Pontus, with Jan Kopecky still, obviously with Rolven Perra now, and Jussi Nordgren. Brilliant.
Yeah, it's strong. It's strong. And you know, youth is on their side. But it's just when I seen the announcement, obviously, Rolven Perra in the overall stuff. And I was thinking, you know what? We owe Škoda here. Škoda are doing such a great service for the WRC, nurturing these young drivers, because it's not like they're nurturing for themselves to move on. They know, the management know the drivers are going to move on. I just think it's a great story.
Yeah, I think it is. But, you know, they're moving on, but they're creating success for Škoda as they go.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, Škoda have very much got their name front and centre in the WRC2 Championship right now. And I think that is crucial for them. They're getting fantastic coverage, which, you know, all of us have to remember, as much as we love this sport, as much as we love rally, they're all in it to sell cars at the end of the day. So they are getting absolutely brilliant coverage in that sense. But they've created such a brilliant car in the Škoda R5. And they've then put some fabulous drivers into them and nurtured them along the way. And yeah, they're right at the forefront. They are, you know, the ones to be really shouting at from, you know, the likes of M Sport with their fabulous Fiesta R5. We're looking forward to seeing the Volkswagen compete as well. Hyundai still very much, you know, in terms of developing that R5 that they have. You can see the WRC2 championship with the R5s becoming very special indeed. I think it's a great championship as it stands now, and it's only going to get stronger.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I hold my hand up. I was really skeptical about the Polo. I hadn't heard anything. Obviously, Marcus was the test driver, and I know Marcus has been doing other things recently, and I was just really surprised because, you know, Marcus hadn't said anything about it. And then, of course, you get the artist impression. That's all we see. And then all of a sudden, obviously, you see Volkswagen decamped in Wales with Pontus driving the car. Okay, fair dues. You know, so I missed this one completely.
Yeah, there it is. I mean, it was great to see some actual moving images of it. I've seen a couple of pictures of it kind of off the record behind the scenes, but I haven't seen any you know, footage of it in action. And that was brilliant to see. I'm keen to hear more about what the plan is for that B-dub now. And, you know, who we could see behind the wheel. Will we see it compete across next season? I'm certainly hoping so.
It'll be exciting. Nevertheless, we need to talk WRC overall for the season, Bex, because you, of course, have a bird's eye view on everything in the WRC because of your coverage of it. It was a season with so much anticipation. Everybody had new cars. It was the first time, I suppose, everybody had been on a level playing field for a number of years. And we went into Monte Carlo, completely unknown, but Seb still won anyway.
yeah, he did. But, you know, it wasn't a, you know, stage one to final stage victory for him. It was Thierry Neuville who started off so strongly. And what, he had a 51-second lead, I think, before things went wrong for him. And then Seb took it all over then. But yeah, you're right. It was highly anticipated, wasn't it? Brand new regulations meant brand new World Rally cars, and the build up and watching everyone test, seeing those test videos coming in, you know, the aerodynamics on the cars, how incredible some of them looked, and some of them looked as if they could be spaceships. They had so much aero on them. And you're wondering, what are these cars going to do? How are they going to react on the stages? Are they going to be as visually dynamic? Are we going to see them sliding around? What is it going to be like? And I think it's fair to say none of us have been disappointed by what we've seen out there this season. The closest competitive season in over a decade. It's had every thrill and spill. And sometimes, you know, you could be at events, and I'm talking a long time ago now, where it was Rally Spain, before we saw Spain split into gravel and tarmac. I remember going to Spain 1 year and it became a procession. And I remember repeating the same top 10 for about a day. There was no change. And it was like, oh, really? Come on, someone move up. Someone change position here. And then you look back now to what we've had this year, where it's just been changing all the time. The leads changing hands, different leaders on event, and the number of different winners that we've had throughout the season. Seeing, you know, debut wins for drivers, which is my personal favourite thing in the championship, is seeing someone win for the first time. It's always been my favourite thing. And it's some years, you know, you don't see that because drivers dominate. But this year, to see Oit Tanak pick up the win that he'd hunted for so long, to see Elvin Evans do it at home, Esa-Pekka Lappi do it at home in Finland as well. And amazingly for Esa-Pekka in his debut season after a handful of events.
It's just, again, you know, it's just, we were talking, of course, about the young drivers coming through before. And I suppose, you know, we put Esa-Pekka in that, and we put, obviously, Elvin in that as well. And he just feels like he's been around a long time, but he's still relatively a young driver in the scheme of things. And of course, do we think he's perhaps moved on too soon? Or do you think it was an opportunity that he really couldn't miss going to Toyota?
I think it was an opportunity he couldn't turn down. The word opportunity maybe is wrong. You know, I think M Sport has shown what a fantastic team it's been all season, how competitive they've been. They came out with a fantastic package. And maybe quite a few people didn't expect it because they were one of the last teams to start actually testing their brand new World Rally car. But they've come in with a fabulous Fiesta this year. They've won both championships. And it may seem odd to people that, okay, he's decided to change teams. But he's been with M Sport forever. It seems he spent pretty much his whole career with M Sport, and Toyota come knocking on their door, massive manufacturer team with a huge amount of budget behind them for testing, development, for salary. And I think, you know, he had to. It's maybe time for him to move on, time for him to experience something else. Who knows how he'll fit in there? Who knows how he'll get on? I'm sure he'll be brilliant because Oit's the kind of driver that can jump into any car and adapt straight away. He's an exceptionally talented guy. But yeah, it's probably time for him to have a bit of a change. Although, personally, I'd like to have seen him stay at M Sport. I think it would have been great if he'd stayed there. But I'm keen to see how he's going to handle the Toyota. And I'm keen to see the dynamic of the team with him within it. Because you have Jari-Matti Latvala, who's obviously leading the team there. Esa Pekka, who can win rallies. We know that. We've seen that. He won in Finland, although he'll pretty much put his hand in the air and say he struggled from that point onwards. But he'll be stronger next year. He's done the rallies now. He knows what they're like in a World Rally Car, bar the opening ones, of course, because he came on board in Portugal. But to put Oit within that team dynamic as well, how is it all going to flow? How strong are they going to be as a team unit? And are they going to be challenging for the manufacturer's title during next season?
I guess the other thing, which, you know, Jari-Matti, of course, I suppose, had his dream scenario when he went to Toyota from Volkswagen. I think he's made reference many times now, hasn't he, to the fact that, you know, maybe, well, there was no maybe about it. Volkswagen was very much molded around Seb, and, you know, he was, at times, he was taking Seb's setup and things like that. And, you know, Jari-Matti is such a, is a complex character, isn't he? I think it's fair to say. I just wonder.
Yeah, definitely.
I just wonder now, you know, a strong teammate coming in who has been quick elsewhere, because he, Lappi, of course, had his win, and, you know, Johanninen was, you know, what I consider to be, he was a fantastic IRC driver. We spoke about Johanninen numerous times on this podcast, to be honest with you, and, you know, he was very successful in IRC, you know, really, really got his head around the Super 2 car. Seems to have a very good reputation as a test driver, because Hyundai used him as well and things like that. But he was never really going to go in trouble, Jari-Matti, as a rule. He was going to, you know, he was probably towed the party's line. Whereas you get this feeling with Oit now, especially since he's had the season with Seb, and, you know, not many people have gone toe to toe with Seb on a level playing field. And that's what Oit's done. And he never looked fazed by it at all either. Whereas perhaps previous teammates to Seb have been a little bit beaten at times. I just wonder how Yari's going to react to that.
I think that's going to be the interesting dynamic. That's definitely what I'm referencing. I think it's, Jari-Matti is, you know, he is a sensitive soul. He really is. He's the loveliest, loveliest guy, and he's desperate to win the championship title. That is the goal for him. And, you know, that's what he's going to be focused on next year. Now that they've had their year of development, they've seen some of the weaknesses with the car. They've worked on those elements. They're hopefully going to come back with a stronger overall package next year. We've seen the speed that he can achieve with that car. Certainly something special from him. But you're right. Oit is an incredibly strong driver. Not only is he strong on stage, he is mentally strong. Nothing phases Tanak at all. I don't think there's a psychological way of getting to him. I thought maybe being in the team this year at M Sport with Ogier, that Ogier would crack him a bit, because Ogier is such a strong guy, you know, and he's got his championship titles behind him. He can be the kind of, I don't care, I'm going to go out, I'm going to do this, this and this. He has this experience behind him. And I thought that might affect Oit in a way. Would that shake him if they were in a battle together? Well, we saw them in many battles and it didn't seem to crack him. I don't think Oit was fazed by Ogier, and I certainly don't think he'll be fazed by Latvala. He does his own thing. He's very much his own man, and he will have a strong year, I'm pretty sure. But whether his strength will faze Jari-Matti is another question. I hope not, because I really want to see Jari-Matti do well. Latvala challenging for the title next year. I really want to see that. Because, you've mentioned it earlier, we have a lot of strong young drivers coming through the ranks, and they are all getting closer in terms of competitiveness. We've seen that this year. Okay, the cars were pretty, you could say in a way, the cars were level towards the start of the season. Then you saw some teams with strengths in areas. Hyundai were incredibly strong throughout the season, but they had their weaker sides as well. You know, you'd argue that M Sport were consistently the strongest team. They were on the podium every event. They were consistently the strongest team out there last year. And I think next year, I think we're all hoping, aren't we, to see as competitive a year as we've seen this year, if not more. Can we see the likes of Esa Pekka step up that little bit further and start to challenge? Malcolm Wilson has already said the dark horse of the competition could be Elvin Evans next year. He switches into essentially, he was part of the M Sport main team anyway, but he's the one and two now with Ogier, and he's back on Michelin tyres. You know, what can we see from Elvin after such an incredible performance at various events during the year from him. Can we see him challenge for the title? Malcolm Wilson seems to think so.
Well, that's exactly where I was going to go next again. And you know, people who've listened to the podcast over the years, we've made reference to Elvin numerous times throughout it, and more so probably this year. And we've had him on as a guest as well, and we've had Dan on and stuff. But we talk about the psychological thing. You've known Elvin as well for a long time. Different character for me now. Very different character, and I mean that in a positive way. And I think the fact that he has held his own, and obviously now he's won a WRC round and everything else, and it's almost like he, metaphorically speaking, had a tow rope on him as well from Ogier, and you know, he stepped up. He doesn't look out of place there. I guess I'm going with this. He looks like he belongs.
Yeah, he definitely looks like he belongs, and I don't know when the change came about. I can't pinpoint it, but I'll look back to Argentina this year where he was leading the rally going into that final stage. He lost out to Newville by 7/10. That bloody bridge is all I can say at this point. And I remember, you know, the FIA press conference afterwards and thinking, oh, what kind of place is Elvin going to be in now? You know, when I'm questioning him, how is he going to respond? Is he just going to be so gutted that I'm just going to get one word answers here? And I was completely blown away, not just by the press conference, because he was totally mature. It was, you know, oh, well, you know, I've missed out, but I've learned all of this about myself, about the car. You know, I'm a better driver for this. And it wasn't just talk. He meant it. We interviewed him after the press conference. It was just myself, David Evans, and we kind of sat down with him and commiserated. But he was like, look, I'm fine about this. You know, I know, he said, if I had any doubt before coming into this rally, he said, and I did have doubt about myself, he said, that's now gone. I have no doubt about my ability now. And it's from there then that I kind of saw a sea change in him. And you see this confidence coming through from him. And okay, he's been put in quite a few situations this year where, unfortunately, the conditions of a rally have not suited the tyres that he's been on, and he cannot, whether he likes it or not, he cannot achieve the result that he would want to achieve. And yeah, that's going to pee anyone off, isn't it? And that's going to frustrate you. But instead of him being frustrated, down, angry, he's just taking it on the chin, because he knows deep down what he can achieve. And like he said, if he had any doubt after Rally Argentina, that doubt is completely gone. He believes in himself. And I think that's one of the most critical things you can have as a driver, as a co-driver, is that absolute belief in yourself, unshakable belief that you can do it and you can achieve that top spot. And after Argentina, he knew it. And that's, I think, where we saw the change.
This is the Absolute Rally Podcast. Click motorsportauctions.com. Now, one of the world's leading motorsport online classified advert and auction sites. It's easy to use, providing listing platforms that enable you to sell race and rally cars, surplus parts, transporters, clothing, workshop and pit equipment. We specialise in cataloguing, listing and selling large quantities of motorsport-related surplus and obsolete stock. Click motorsportauctions.com. This is Absolute Rally.
Where do we see, or who do we see, I guess, in what will be, well, it's not going to be a DMAC car next year, but there will be a third car, I guess, because all the teams are, of course, running three cars. Unless you're Hyundai, you could run four. Where do we see the third car going? I've got a theory, and I put it out to a couple of people, and no one has kind of, everyone's kind of went, I can see that. But likewise, I've read a story today which kind of blows my theory out the water. I had Mads down for the third car, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Consistent point scorer, knows the events, obviously would be welcome back into the fold, he's known, has budget as well, so I'm sure there must be some kind of contra deal and everything else. And it's a surefire way of having that regular point scorer who also brings something to the team.
I think it's an interesting one, the third car. You know, it's... As we've seen this year, the third car was the DMAC car. So it's a funded car, essentially. And I believe there's going to have to be funding for that car to be in place. I could see it being a shared car still, though. I'm not sure we'll see a complete dedicated driver within that car. But like you say, it changes weekly. You know, I hear things and think, oh, it's going to go this way. And then, you know, the next day you're shopping in Tesco's and you see a text. You think, oh, no, it's going to go the other way then. It's at this kind of point in the season where, you know, things are changing by the minute. But I would be gutted if I don't see Teemu sooner and get a chance next year in a World Rally car. I really want to see him properly in a World Rally car.
You've got the pronunciations down because, so much better than me.
Well, when I say it properly, yeah, Teemu Suninen. When I actually get the words out of my mouth. You know, what he showed us on his events in Poland and in Finland, I thought was really something special. And it was brilliant to see. You know, he'd been kind of, his career had run on the same kind of pace as Esa-Pekka Lappi. And Esa-Pekka was telling me this. I can't remember at which rally it was. We were just chatting and he said, you know, I've been really keen to see how Teemu would get on. And he was telling me that they'd done karting together, they'd done this together, and, you know, they kind of run at the same kind of pace. And he was not at all surprised by his performances in Poland and Finland. And, okay, there are events which will suit Teemu's style of driving, but I think he's another very special young man, and I want to see him in a World Rally car now. We've seen him enough in WRC2. I think he's done there. He may have another season there, who knows, but I am hoping that we see him in that third car. Even if it's a shared drive, I really want to see him in a World Rally car.
I wonder if he'll end up in that fourth Citroën or third Citroën run by PH, but I'm really interested to see where that goes as well. Because that's going to be an interesting dynamic, because obviously Citroën still want to have some input on who drives that car. And obviously the year that they've had, I think it's going to be an interesting time of, you know, if you had budget, would you be going to M Sport or would you be going to take the Citroën? There's a dilemma for you.
There's a dilemma. God, but wouldn't it be nice to be in that? Have that dilemma if you had that kind of money, yeah?
Yeah.
I'd like to have that dilemma. No, let me see. I've got all these thousands of pounds that I can just throw away. Where am I going to put it? That would be lovely. Absolutely.
So the season has got going, and obviously Thierry was, I think, you know, Jack Bengen, as much as he will now deny it, very early on this year was basically, he put, you know, the world in his house on the fact that Thierry's going to be world champion this year. And to be fair,
so did I at the start of the season. I did as well. Thierry was my man for the championship title at the start of the year.
How do you talk to Thierry, you know, probably more than most, obviously, FIA press conferences and things like that, and dealing with him. What happened? Because, you know, we talked about that unshakable confidence before, which Hoyt's got and things like that. Thierry also has that to me. He undoubtedly has that.
Oh, definitely. I think out of all the WRC drivers, I would say he has probably the biggest self-belief. Definitely. He is, for me, one of the most confident people I've ever met. And I think it's, you know, he goes through this process of analysis of the way he drives. What did he say about me pronouncing words? Analyzing the events in detail with Nico, his co-driver. He knows where he's going wrong, but he knows where he's going right. And sometimes even when he's going wrong, he still thinks he's going right. But that's, you need to have that kind of brazen confidence. And he does have that in bucket loads. And okay, his pace was brilliant. He made some silly mistakes at the start of the year. Sweden, I'm sure, he'll desperately want to forget, you know, a super special nightmare for him. But yeah, there were some issues with the car as well. Germany, we remember the wheel coming off. I remember George Donaldson being, I think, at stage end for us at the time and describing exactly what kind of state the wheel was in when it came in. It was half hanging off the car. And Thierry saying, you know, I've touched nothing. I don't understand how this has happened. And they were really perplexed. And okay, yeah, they had touched a curb, but barely. Everyone had touched the same curb in the same spot. And they'd all emerged, you know, without any kind of major damage. But the rear suspension, or suspension in general, was maybe a little bit delicate in parts from the year. But his belief will carry him on, I'm sure, into a really strong second season. And that car was when it was absolutely on form was pretty brilliant.
Well, obviously one of the, I'm not going to say it because it's answered to one of our questions, so I'm not going to say what I was just about to say, but our Renaissance man, of course, that's going to be his teammate, or has been his teammate throughout the season, the latter half of the season, but will be for full time next season, of course, is Andreas.
Wow. I mean, I joked with Andreas. I think we were in, we must have been in Spain, was his first event for Hyundai. Was it? Yes, it was his first event for Hyundai. And I joked with him on the Meet the Crew stage. So at the end of every day, we have a session with the top three drivers of the day. And during Shakedown as well, whoever's the top three at Shakedown. And I remember saying to him, you know, are you going to have a problem going to Parc Fermé and wondering which car you're getting into? Because, you know, Skoda, Citroën, now Hyundai. We saw him in it. You know, think back 12 months ago, Tony, and we were, well, for Mikkelsen, he had nothing at this point. It was the, you know, possibly we were going to see him in a Skoda. That was the rumor. Possibly we'll see him in a Skoda in Monte. But he had no drive. He had no manufacturer drive. I can't remember whether Ogier did at this point, whether he'd signed a deal for M Sport or not. I think it might have even been a bit closer to Christmas. But at least we knew that that was in the process of happening and being a possibility. But for Mikkelsen,
it was definitely unique, wasn't it? Because, of course, he just won Rally Australia. And it seemed almost insurmountable, the fact that...
And it was a brilliant win. It wasn't just the win, it was a brilliant win at Rally Australia. And then he finds himself without the possibility of a drive. And you're kind of scratching your head going, how can this happen? How can the guy who just won the last WRC event and really did win it in style, how can he not have a drive? How can he not have a seat? Are the manufacturers blind? Yeah. What are they doing? You know, Toyota had already done the deal. We'd had the launch actually in the wonderful Facebook memories, it kind of popped up today that I was hosting the Toyota launch for their championship on this day last year. So, you know, we knew where Jari Matti was. Quite a funny story there, actually, because we had the launch in Finland, in Helsinki, and Juho Hannanen was there, so Pekka Lappi was there, but only announced at the time as a test driver rather than, you know, a competitor during the season. And, you know, I knew off the record, because with the planning and preparation, that Jari Matti would be then the driver, but it hadn't actually been confirmed until that day. And we're preparing for the launch. We're about 5 minutes away from starting the launch, and it's all pretty swish, and the car's coming out of these big kind of huge doors, and it all looked brilliant. And we hear that Jari Matti's not here yet. And his flight's been delayed, and he was coming in from a test, and his flight's been delayed, and he's not here, and he should be on the ground very shortly. And I'm thinking, well, we're 5 minutes away from it all starting. Cut a very long story short, we had to just crack on with the launch. We had to go at a certain time, so we started it. Introduce Juho Hannanen, kept him talking on the stage quite a bit. Introduce Esa Pekka, kept him talking till you get the little, you know, sound in your ear, you know, Jari Matti is here. And it's like, right, you know, now we can announce, you know, the number one driver for the season. And I was on stage with Jarmo Leitinen, who was then my co-presenter, who was at the time sporting director for Toyota. And we introduced him onto the stage, and they hadn't even had time to put an overall on. They just came out.
I remember the pictures now. It's like he's just coming from home. He's just been in a bit of garden or something.
Yeah, at the time I was like, oh, why didn't you just quickly put them on? But literally the time was running out and they had just come in and then they were on the stage. But there we go. You know, some things don't run completely smoothly because of flights and all the rest of it. But it was a really great launch, I have to say. It was so, the car, I think, the Yaris looks really, you know, quite dynamic. Does it? Certainly the rear sector of the car is just insane with the aero on it. And you kind of question whether it's all going to work. And we question it because we're not engineers. We don't really know how it all works properly, but they know what they're doing. And okay, a lot of people said it looked like a CD rack, but it does what it says on the tin, and it got them a win in Sweden and in Finland, so it definitely works.
Absolutely. Now, you lost the Stage M reporter this year because he was pretty much full-time at Citroën. Craig Green, of course, at Abu Dhabi Citroën Racing. Not quite the season for the team as a whole, but, you know, for Craig, he went out and did his job this year.
Yeah, he did. You know, he was consistent. And I know he hates now coming fifth overall, because I can't remember how many times he came fifth off the top of my head. But for the first half of the season, it was fifth, 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 fifth. But he was putting the points on the board, and he was doing what a strong second driver does. And that's put the points on the board. And, you know, we had some wonderful moments from him, some brilliant breakthroughs in terms of speed and in terms of confidence. And you know, the overwhelming thing for me this year is that, you know, Craig is ready. Craig is ready, isn't he, to do more, to deliver more, to deliver a win. He's there. His confidence did take a knock halfway through the season. But then we, you know, we saw that for all the Citroën drivers. And I think, you know, eventually Citroën made no bones about the fact that things weren't going the way that they wanted them to. Eventually then putting all their hopes on next year and concentrating on development for next year. And his confidence did take a knock. And we talked about, you know, Yari Matti being a sensitive driver. So is Craig. And in a different sense, I think, you know, Craig is... can be incredibly strong, but he doesn't hide his emotion at all. And I think that's a good thing. You know, when he's feeling elated, when he's feeling delighted, you hear it at a stage. And how many times have we heard him say, you know, I love my job. I love this car. That was the best stage of my life. And there've been tears and not so long ago at that. I think it was in Australia. His family were out there because his sister lives on the other side of the country in Perth. And, you know, he came to one of the stage ends and all his family were there. And it was like he'd won the stage. He'd actually, in the end, come third through it or fourth. But he felt as if he'd won it because he had such a brilliant feeling. And the feeling was so good, he started to cry. And he was like, I know I'm always crying, but it just felt so amazing. But you also see it then in contrast when things aren't going well. He also shows that as well. You know, and I think Poland was a really tough one. We saw, you know, him. Possibly the low was there because he just could not find confidence. And then he's questioning himself. He's questioning himself as a driver. And it's difficult then because the car isn't responding the way he wanted it to, wasn't doing the things he was telling it to do. So he couldn't trust it. He couldn't put his trust in it. He couldn't put his trust in himself. And that was really difficult for him. So it's definitely been an up and down season. We've seen some great moments from him, but we've also seen the tough ones. But, oh, and I hate this phrase. I can't believe I'm going to say it. It's character building.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, I hate that phrase. But it, you know, it does, the lows do help you to get stronger because you're hopefully we're never going to see Craig down that low again. It did get better for him as the season went on. You know, fingers crossed. I think everyone's got their fingers crossed that we will see the C3 come out next year as a stronger overall package. On tarmac, it was amazing. It really was. It was just a beautiful car to watch. And you're watching television footage of it. The way, obviously, the drivers are doing a superb job, but the way it's handling, you can just see that it is a joy to drive on tarmac. It was a tough call on gravel, and you've got to hope, and I'm sure that they will, with the wealth of ability and experience they have within that team, they can turn things round. New technical director who came in beginning of September, Christoph Bess, another guy who has a wealth of rally experience, but also most recently he's actually come from the M Sport Bentley project. That's what he's worked on. And he's been with Citroën in the past, back in the early 2000s or mid 2000s. But yeah, most recently he's been with M Sport on the Bentley project, but now switches back to Citroën and the World Rally project. And, you know, it's been interesting to see the differences he's made coming in September to this point. And he'll have a lot more influence now on it moving forward.
Were you surprised to see Mr. Loeb back behind the wheel of a Citroën?
Oh, I was delighted to see him back behind the wheel of a Citroën. I could not contain my excitement. You know, when he left the championship, you know, we were, I was kind of, lots of people have different opinions about Loeb. He dominated for so many years that I think a lot of spectators, a lot of fans became a little bored of that domination, as is completely natural to do. And then when he left, there were a lot of people mourning the fact that he'd left. And we saw so many beautiful videos. And there's one which every time I watch it just kind of brings me to tears. It's a Finnish guy, Antti, who made the video about Lopes. He's taken lots of different footage from WRC TV over the years, bits and pieces from Citroen, put it all together in this amazing edit with brilliant music. If you haven't seen it, look for it on YouTube, because it is going to get you going in all kinds of ways, believe me. And, you know, people were like, oh, he's the greatest driver we've ever seen, and he's gone. And it's like, okay, well, you didn't appreciate it when he was here. You know, that he is, for me, the best rally driver I've ever seen compete. He really is. To just have a sniff of the fact that he was going to come back, I was delighted by. And then, you know, you see him in the car, you see a bit of the test footage. I actually saw him at Rally GB. I was walking to the service park on one of our very rare, sadly, coffee breaks. But we had a bit of a gap Saturday afternoon. So I was walking over to Hyundai, who have a great coffee machine in the service park. And there he is. And he starts waving at me, and it's like, oh my God, it's Loeb in the spectator areas. He's over the fence. So I go over, have a chat, have a hug, catch up, talk about the family, blah, blah, blah. I was like, right, when are you coming back? And I did a whole interview with him then about next year. And he said in that interview, and he also said kind of off the record, same thing, that, you know, he's has found nothing in everything that he's done since. Nothing has given him the thrill that rally gives him. And, you know, to hear him say that, the man who, when he left, it was like, I want to try different things. I've done rally for long enough now. I want to go out there. I want to do different things. He did Pikes Peak, massively successful there. You know, he turned his hand to touring cars, rallycross. We've seen him do lots of different things. But WRC is where the thrill is for him. That's what really floats his boat. And, yeah, he's in talks with Citroen. He said to me maybe four events next year. I think it would be brilliant to see him back, not just for the brand, for Citroen, but for rally fans around the world, to have him back in competition. A lot of people want to see him up against Ogier. You know, one thing's for sure, if he does come back, we're not going to see him in Monte. He's doing Dakar. It's not possible. Well, it is possible to actually come and do the rally, but to prepare the rally properly, which is what he wants. That's what he said to me, is that when he comes back, if he comes back, and I'm hoping it's the when, he wants to be on top form. He wants to have tested, to, you know, have enough kilometers under his belt in the C3 to be able to come back properly. And I said, oh, you know, come on, you're Sebastian Loeb. You can do anything. Ah, I said, but I'm old now. I'm an old driver now.
Did you see the onboard of him in the 306?
Yes. Oh, isn't that such a great car? I love that 306 Maxi. It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome.
Yeah, if that's an old man, then I wish I was that old man times a million. But there you go.
But I asked him whether he'd been following WRC across the season, and he said not every event. He said, but I'm keeping up with everything that's going on. And, you know, I asked him who he thought would win GB, and this was Saturday midday-ish, I'd say. And he said Elvin should do it now. He said, from what I've seen, he said Elvin should win this. And, you know, he was talking about various drivers through the year, saying that, you know, even though Ogier was so close to the championship title, he said it's still not as easy as many people might think. For him to seal it here, he needs lots of things to go his way. And we saw both Sebs having a chat one night in M Sport in the service bay, and for lots of people who say, oh, they never talk to each other, they hate each other, whether they have their differences still, we don't know, but they were certainly having a good chat on Saturday night at Wales Rally GB. But Loeb very much tuned in still with, you know, what's been going on. Not absolutely that he could say, oh, well, Thierry's had so many stage wins this year, but he's been keeping an eye on things, and I really hope we see him come back.
Interesting times. Of course, we haven't mentioned Chris yet. Chris has been, you know, you talked about a character building season for Craig Breen. I don't quite know what category we put him, Chris, in then. If it's character building for Craig, what do we put Chris in? See what category?
Do you know, I don't know. Sometimes there are no words. We've just come off the back of Rally Australia. We had the WRC Gala, which is basically a big old party at the end of the year, which we celebrate the championship, which, to be honest, we've only done it the past 2 years. We've never done it before. And it's always been something that's kind of got me, We have a great championship, but we never, as a championship itself, we never get together at the end of it and celebrate everything that we've done during the year. Well, we do now. And they gave out awards during the gala. So we had lots of different categories, best driver, best co-driver, all fan voted on WRC.com. But there was a Michelin magic moment of the year, which Chris won for the Mexico stunt. And, you know, that's something which at the time and still now when he talked about it on stage, because, you know, we've all watched the footage probably many, many times. And it's been turned into little videos or funny videos. You know, Paul Nagel saying, Jesus Christ, Chris, as they kind of veer off. Chris got onto the stage and said, you know, well, Jesus Christ, Chris doesn't really tell you where to go, but we seem to manage it. He said, but still, he said, I'm embarrassed looking at that clip. And he was so trying to play it down once the rally had ended and obviously come back to the service park. And we tried to talk about it. He was trying to play it down because he was embarrassed by it. I think he very quickly realized that it's one of those things that is, it's never going to go away. It's always going to be there, that moment. But the season as a whole has been, it's got to be the toughest of his career, I would have said, without a shadow of a doubt, the toughest of his career. Because I think there was such big, you know, what makes it worse is there was big expectation at the start. Big expectation for the team, former multiple world title holders coming in with a brand new car, coming back into WRC. Everyone thought, right, that's going to be the car to beat. Citroën C3, car to beat next year. And it wasn't. And it wasn't in some of the worst ways. And we saw some really difficult moments through the year for Chris. We saw some moments of brilliance. Mexico was one of them. Okay, that bit at the end, although he might be embarrassed by it, still one of the best moments of the year. He still won the rally. So it was a great save at the end of the day. You know, his pace on tarmac in Corsica before the engine decided to die was brilliant. We've seen good bits, but there's been a lot of bad bits, unfortunately. And he's been quite a frustrated driver this year. And I think a lot of people around the world have seen that. And he's had to deal with a lot. So we're hoping that he'll have to deal with a great car next year. And we can really see him, you know, go for a title fight, because goodness knows he has the potential and more for that. And I really want to see him fighting at the front. We all do. You know, he's one of those drivers who, I think many, many people, he's had quite a long career now. So, well, a short career and a long career, because although he's been around a long time, he hasn't had massive opportunity right to the front of the field. It's only in the past few years where we've seen him with a manufacturer drive and that opportunity to prove what he can do. And I really want that opportunity to be a real one for him next year.
You're listening to Absolute Rally with Tony Simpson and Ryan Champion. Pace Notes Rally Magazine, Britain and Ireland's only dedicated rally publication. Rally news, interviews, features and reports from Clubman Rallies to the WRC. Available from all good newsagents or subscribe at rallymag.com. Pace Notes Rally Magazine, your number one monthly rally read. This is Absolute Rally.
We stay with the character building drivers. A couple I think we need to just mention, and he's a great friend of the show, and he's always great fun, and we've not spoke to him that much recently. We will get him on again soon. Hayden Paddon, it just hasn't been there's the obvious which we all acknowledge at the top of the season, but you know, obviously changed the co-driver, that was planned, they've been working towards that. That's, I don't think that's anything to do with them. It just hasn't worked for him, hasn't it? He just hasn't quite got on with this new car.
He hasn't. It's been a difficult one for him. And he's, you know, he's put his hands up and said that it's been difficult trying to adapt to centre diff. It's something we talked about quite a bit before the season started. And adapting to that has been a difficult one for him. Definitely his mojo has been lost this season. But again, sometimes on some rallies, Sardinia, where he was leading at one point, you're seeing the Hayden of old. And then unfortunately, there's a mistake and it's all over. So yeah, it's been definitely a difficult year. And then at the end of it, to have a bit of a change, because Mickelson came in at the end of the season and we didn't see Hayden compete in Spain. And that, to be dropped from an event for any driver, we saw Chris obviously dropped midpoint of the season. it's a tough blow. You know, when your confidence is low, that is just the extra nudge to put it even lower. And you have to, I think, call on all your mental reserves then to bring yourself back. And when we spoke to Hayden at the next event in Wales, he talked about building. He was like, I need to rebuild this confidence. He said, you know, I've been shattered this year. He said, and I need to find some kind of footing to basically start to rebuild that confidence. It's, yeah, there's nothing other that you can say than it's been a really hard year for him. It really has. And he just has to wipe the slate clean. We won't see him compete till Sweden next year. It's going to be a shared car, that third car at Hyundai with Hayden and Danny. And Sweden is the first confirmed event for Hayden. So he's got a while to kind of sort himself out a little in terms of, yeah, getting himself mentally prepared.
We've seen him doing bits and pieces, of course, at home with the AP4 car. Obviously, hopefully that'll help towards that. Danny seems to be a little bit more comfortable with the concept of now, or maybe not comfortable, but at peace with the fact that he's going to be sharing the car and he's going to go out and try and achieve rally wins.
Yeah, I don't think either of them are at peace with it, okay. Really. They both want a full season. When you talk to them, they both would rather. Hayden definitely wants a full season and is not, you know, he's going to take what he can get now, obviously. He's going to have a shared drive. He knows that. But both of them would rather have a full season. But yeah, you know, Danny is, they're in different parts of their careers, aren't they? I mean, Danny is a fantastic driver. We've seen this over the years that he's been such a brilliant second driver and a point scoring driver. You could rely on Sordo to bag the points. He's not had such a great season this year either. But if he can handpick the events where he's strongest on next year, and you know, you're going to see him for certain on the tarmac events over Hayden. Hayden's still struggling on a tarmac surface. So we'll definitely see Danny, I would think, on the tarmac events next year. He kicks off in Monte Carlo. If he can go for those wins that he desperately wants to get, then, yeah, we're going to see a happy Danny Sordo and a change of co-driver as well for Danny. We bid farewell to Mark Marti, and Carlos Del Barrio returns to the co-driving seat. We've seen Carlos co-drive with Danny a few years back. So, you know, that partnership is rekindled again, which will be good to see because Carlos is a great guy.
Just remind me, did he sit with Carlos Sainz right at the end? Or am I getting mixed up? Or am I getting it the wrong way around? Marco Marti did, didn't he? I'm sure he did. One of them did, I'm sure.
Mark Marti.
Yeah. I knew I was getting it one way around or another. Listen, we believe...
Yeah, Carlos has sat with Danny and with Chevy Pons in
there
the past.
There you go. I knew the name somewhere. I knew, yeah. Anyway, believe it or not, we've done an hour. We've done an hour on this stuff.
I know.
Crazy. It's crazy.
We've done an hour.
No. Listen, it's all good. Listen,
crackling.
Before I let you go, you've got to give me your favourite moments of this season.
Oh, do you know what? I'm probably going to be the same as everyone else. No, I've got two. Can I give you two? Right. Okay. So it's going to be the final stage of Wales Rally GB. I have never in my rally career spanning now 15 years full time, 17 years part time. I have never seen a moment like that where we've had the manufacturers, drivers, and then a maiden win sealed on one stage. That was something else at Wales Rally GB on Brenig. And that was just a cacophony of brilliant moments. It was just amazing. And then second favourite moment of the year, Rally Argentina, walking past the M Sport kitchen unit and seeing Julian Ingrassia sat on the work surface with a bottle of Corona in his hand at the end of the day, chatting to Pav the chef. And then I found out that that's a regular haunt for him. He's normally in there on the work surface chatting away, sometimes peeling a potato, sometimes
there's
just
very,
talking.
There's very few people Beth, who could give that as one of their favourite moments. That's as minorities go, that is possibly the smallest minority that we just dipped into who could possibly have that as a favourite moment. So good on you. Good on you. I assume we're all kind of gearing up now. You're dusting down the thermals, getting them ready for Monty.
Yeah. What kind of conditions are we going to see in Monty this year? Well, next year. Who knows? Yeah, dusting down the thermals, getting ready. I mean, it's never much of an off season for anyone, to be honest. You kind of stop in Australia. You've got a couple of weeks testing is kind of coming to an end now for the teams. They should be completely done by the end of this week with their testing. And for the rest of us, it's gearing up again, getting everything ready to go for Monty. And before that, the big WRC launch at the Autosport Show, which will be pretty amazing. Championship launch.
Are you going to be there? Are you going to be treading the boards?
Absolutely. I will be there. Cannot wait to see everyone. Fantastic. There.
We will be there in one guise or another. But Bex, listen, thank you so much for joining us. And you know, the door's always open, but it's great to have you on. And I find it odd. I feel I can say this now. It's the first time I've said it to anyone. Have a great Christmas.
Yay!
I feel I'm all right to say it
Happy
now.
Christmas
I feel I'm all right to say it. Yeah.
You.
There you go.
Yeah, it's that point now. You can't you? You know, it's I saw someone today and it was like, if I don't see you before Christmas, have a good one. Like, yeah. You can legitimately say that now on this date, yeah. I think. We're creeping closer. It's not far away. So, yes, have a very fun, festive season.
You too.
Keep up the good work.
I really, really appreciate that. Folks, we will be back same time in your same place in your podcast hall with the quiz next week.